Blog Talk Radio.
Sun 752 with this your Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single weekend from 11:30. We do this every single weekend from 11 o'clock till around 12:30-ish. And the reason that we say 12:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday or a Sunday. You know what I mean? And this Saturday, we are talking about the light skin, dark skin challenge. You know, have you ever felt it? Have you ever been there? You know, were you the quintessential black sheep of the family when you was growing up? There are some people who were the only dark skinned person in a whole family of light skins or lighter skins, and sometimes they felt a little felt a way about it because they may have been treated a little bit different. It wasn't always that way. And I think that we need to talk about that because some people will say, no, it's always that way, or it's like that the majority of the time. And I say, no. What's up, Maciel Torres? Maciel Torres on the Instagram side. Thanks for coming on through. So we're going to get it popping. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, bust it up with each other, go back and forth with each other all day long. We play on the monkey bars, the swings, the merry-go-round, push each other up the sliding board. We take an introspective look into our own behavior and our own personality to see how we fit into this universe and project ourselves into this thing called life. We try to figure it out. I'm your host, Son 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. It is the Urban Therapy with Son Show, and I'm glad to be here. I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should. So let's get it pop. Let's get it pop. We won't stop. Get it pop. Hey, it's going down. Yo, get it pop. Hey, we are around. Hey, get it pop. It don't stop, and we start dropping the beat. Make sure we compete with anybody who thinks they can beat this thing. We are the number one. Actually, Son is the one that's striving to be number one, but you know how it goes. And we do what we got to do. So glad to be right here talking to you. The light skin, dark skin challenge. Yeah. The light skin, dark skin challenge. What y'all know? What do y'all know? Now, when you first hear that, yeah, I was motivated to do it because I see so many of these other frivolous challenges on social media. You know, it started with the ice bucket challenge and then you got the no look challenge. I mean, no smile challenge. All these old dumbass shit. It's really just an excuse to take selfies, if you ask me. But since we are in a selfie generation, and there never used to be a such thing as a selfie back in the day, and there is now. What's going on, Annette Long? The family meeting is all up in the house. How you feeling, Ma? It's good to see me from you. Since we are in a selfie generation, and people will gravitate towards these challenge, towards any challenge that they see, so they can get their little they get their little shit off and, you know, start showing what they can do. Ah, look at me. I can do it too. Okay. But if you saw this on social media, you said the light skin, dark skin challenge, people going to be like, oh, here we go with the bullshit. But I believe that in the back of their mind, they may be thinking like, but let me check this out and see what's really good. Because I want to see what angle that they may be speaking about. Like, wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. Because each one of us as black people grew up either being dark skinned or light skinned. There ain't no way around that. Some people are on the fence. But regardless of how on the fence you are either dark to somebody or light to somebody else. There's no getting around that. What's going on, Deneen Super, Queen Deneen Super? Thanks for coming on through. So, yeah. So, this is one of the things that when we grew up, especially if you are a 70s baby, 60s baby, and any time before then, going all the way back to slavery, and we can't ignore the slavery narrative that goes along with this that pretty much got us to the point where we start looking at each other in different ways other than just one people or one race or one community or one culture. We can't deny that part, but we'll get into that part too. Nonetheless, if you grew up in generations past, if you have a good 30, 40, 50 and above years under you, then you know that you have seen, whether it was at recess, whether it was in the lunchroom, whether it was in the classroom, whether it was in the playground, whether it was in the park, whether it was at a cookout, whether it was in your family, whether it was in your living room, whether it was wherever, you know, whether you was having a conversation with your cousins, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, uncles, mother, father, grandparents, and all of that shit. There's no way that you are a black person and you never was a part of that light skin, dark skin conversation. There's no way. There is no way. I challenge any black person to say, I never knew that black people felt some kind of way about light skin versus dark skin. And I really wanted to keep the word versus out of it. We shouldn't be against each other, but you know that in the back of some people's minds, They with the shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All them light-skinned motherfuckers, all them light-skinned bitches used to think they was cuter than everybody else. And all the guys used to flock to them like they was really cute. A lot of them was ugly, but since they was light, they was getting all of the blah, 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 blah. You know you've heard those conversations. You may have had those conversations yourself, or at the very least, you bore witness to it. What's going on, Sucre? Sucre, j'ai toi. Sucre, JT up. What's going on, my good to see me, son? You thanks for coming on through on the Instagram side now. But yeah, you know that you have heard those conversations, and you may have felt that. As we get older, we are expected to grow out of that type of thinking, grow out of that type of feeling, grow out of that type of, like, the phenomenon just fizzled out. Black is black now. We all black and proud. Are we all black and proud? You know goddamn well we ain't all black and proud. Shoot. You know it. You know it. I know it. And it's to the point where now, honestly, you may have troubles or struggles even identifying what black pride may mean. To a lot of people, being black and proud means that you want some militant shit, that you want some I don't like white people shit, that you want some, you know, whatever, you know, you pro-black or whatever. To some people, it's all about, oh, well, she obviously is black and proud. You know why? 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 Because she don't have no weave in her hair. She don't got no fake eyelashes. She on some old India Ari shit. So she must be black and proud. She's an earthy chick. Okay. That may mean, well, let me put it this way. Whoopi Goldberg don't have and never has had, off camera anyway, a weave in her hair. Had dreads her whole career that I've seen her. Dark skin. To me, not so cute. Not cute at all. But I tell you one thing that she's not, whether you think that she's good looking or not, she ain't pro-black. That's for motherfucking sure. Now, that's a judgment call on my behalf, and that's by somebody who does not know her personally. But I know publicly she does not push the pro-black angle. Now, if y'all know something different, okay, some of our people think that you can just be pro-black by being black and successful because you represent that. I'm like, yeah. I have two words, if that's how you think. If you feel like you can be black and successful and that should make you pro-black or representative of our community, I got two words for y'all. Tiger Woods. You know, since we love black celebrities and shit, and since they are our primary representatives of black success, you know, most of us are hard pressed to name 3 millionaires off the top of our head who we have not seen in the entertainment industry. Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you? And I ain't saying billionaires. Millionaires. You know, there are a lot of black millionaires. We don't know them all, but more than likely, when you start talking about black millionaires, you automatically start thinking about entertainment. Will Smith, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Oprah Winfrey, Dr. Dre, Sean Puffy Combs, Bob Johnson, politicians. Are there millionaire black politicians? Even though I consider those politicians to be in the entertainment industry, you know what I'm saying? But that shows you a lot about our culture and our deficiencies in our culture. When it's hard for even the pro-blackiest of us to name a black millionaire, to name three black millionaires off the top of our head that we haven't, that aren't in the entertainment industry. Now, I said in the entertainment industry, I made it a little bit easier because you would be able to name some black politicians like Sucrèse Yatoua said, or you may be able to name three black preachers. You know, the Creflo Dollars, the Louis Farrakhan, what's T.D. Jakes. It gets easier. There you go. 1, 2, 3. They're not in the entertainment industry. I'm like, they ain't. I ain't trying this. But you ain't going to tell me they ain't in the entertainment industry. I mean, honestly, I find them quite entertaining. Not that I don't consider them to be informative also. Well, not T.D. Jakes. I am. Fuck that. Farrakhan, yes. But they all got their shit with them. I mean, we're not doing that. But anyway, Sucrèse Yatoua says, you'd have to admit that entertainers' finances are public information. Yeah, and the bottom line is they are our most visible examples. We barely have any of the other examples. You would think that as black people who are pro-black and who are adults and educated, y'all done went to school. Many of y'all have gone to school, graduated high school. All of y'all have graduated high school. You know, many of y'all have gone and gotten college degrees. Some of y'all have traveled the world in the military, all that kind of stuff. So you've bore witness to some successful black people. But still, we look right to the movies, rapping, singing, basketball, football, playing, and golf. But all right, this light-skinned, dark-skinned challenge set. Now you start looking at these entertainers, and I brought the entertainers up for a reason. Because when you start saying that, or if you are under the belief or of the belief that light-skinned people have it easier than dark-skinned people in life, and all the light-skinned people looking at you like, that sure don't seem to play out at the welfare office. All I know is that if Bonquisha got four kids and I only got two, she gonna get more at the welfare office than I do. And Bonquisha black as shit. I'm light-skinned Keisha. And I'm only getting half of what Bonquisha getting. So you might say, but that's not a good example of. No. Okay. Well, what if I told you that white people get better benefits on that same welfare system than your light-skinned and dark-skinned black ass? What if I told you that? What if I told you I could prove it? What if I took you out to some of their counties and showed you what welfare benefits that they get versus what you get in your county? What if I told you? If you look at the demographics of their county, what if I told you? What if I showed you? Okay. And maybe that wasn't the best example. Maybe it was. Y'all can call into the show. 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said 319-527-6199. Yes. 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. Get your shine, baby. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. And we're talking about the light skin, dark skin challenge. We're going to pick it apart. We're going to chop this fable. We're going to dissect it. We're going to see what we got to see, do what we got to do, learn what we got to learn. All right. Sucre says, my level of success is predicated by whether I know you're a millionaire or not. Sorry, it's not.
Okay.
Oh, it's not. Okay. My level of success is not predicated by whether you're a millionaire or not. No, I understand that. I'm not saying that. Yeah, that's financial success. And we should definitely separate the differences between the different kinds of successes. You can have financial success. You can have commercial success, which is basically financial success, but it's a little different. You can have spiritual success. You can have familial success, success in love. It depends on where your focus is or where your deficiencies are, mentally, emotionally. You know what I mean? Annette Long says, Whoopi's husbands have all been white. I knew this. I've been knew that. That's what I'm saying. Whoopi might not be nothing to look at, but evidently white men got a thing for the whoop. You know what I mean? Whoopi don't have no body or nothing, but evidently I got a feeling that Whoopi head game is on off earth. That shit is celestial. It's in another galaxy. But you can't suck your way to the kind of success that Whoopi has had. You can't blow your way to all of the movies and The View and all of that shit. You can't do that. But Ted Danson was considered a good-looking white man. Who was he with? He was with the Whoop. That Scorpio got magic. She like, oh, these pretty, pretty black bitches. Fuck it. Shit. Shit. You think Serena Williams would have been able to do what she do if I hadn't paved the way? Whoopi ain't shit. I bet you Whoopi like, I got it popping for y'all black bitches to start. All right, then. She was the first, she was the Helen Willis. Before Helen Willis was, all right, okay. So Crazy Twice says it could just be the money, but they had money too. She hasn't messed with no, and she ain't messing around with no broke type. Nah. Okay. Carol says, Annette, she was always married to a white man and has always had to pay alimony in the...
Never mind.
They sued her black ass. Like, I'm going to get you. My man, Magnificent Morocco. My man. Magnificent Morocco. What's going on, my brother? Good to see me some you. And sincerely T. What's going on, sincerely T? Thanks for coming through. All right. Magnificent Morocco says, being light-skinned has its advantages. I'd be interested to know what you consider those advantages to be. I'm not going to deny that it has its advantages. I know that being dark-skinned has its advantages also. But I would, you know, if you have a moment, if you care to share, I'd like to know what you consider the light skin advantages to be. But I'm under the impression that the real advantages to being light skin are all in the black community. I don't see white people choosing light skin black people over dark skin black people. I've heard people try to argue the point. I'm like, when you go to a house party around the way, that red bone is going to get a lot of love. in corporate America. And I'm like, I seen ratchet ass black Nikki get more love in corporate America than light skinned Keisha. And I'm not bullshitting. I'm like, now don't act like y'all don't know some ratchet ass black women in corporate America. And you'll be like, how the fuck? And all of the white people seem to like, you know, little, you know, dark skinned ratchet ass Keisha. I mean, I'm sorry. Nikki. They all show Nikki respect. Nikki ratchet as fuck. She don't give a fuck. Now, little white talking brown skin Rhonda, little white talking, you know, brown skin Rhonda, seemed like she got to work a lot harder than dark skin Nikki. Ratchet dark skin Rhonda. Now, I mean, ratchet dark skin Nikki. Now, brown skin caramel brown Rhonda. Rhonda went to the best schools. You know what I'm saying? She got a little white talk on, like, you know. And Rhonda tried to hang around with white girls and all that kind of shit. You know, she is the quintessential non-threatening black woman. She plays the game well. Rhonda don't be the one getting it, though. Black-ass ratchet Nikki. Who don't give a fuck? They just made Nikki manager. Nikki? Yeah, Nikki. Nikki gonna make sure y'all work. And she gonna punish your black ass too. Write your ass up in a heartbeat. You know she jealous of you. But it don't matter. Nikki got the power. She got the power. Oh, what? It's only me? Oh, okay, all right, fuck it. Y'all want to play? It's all good. Cal Chamberlain says, they certainly do, and more of them are on welfare than blacks. Mm-mm. Cal Chamberlain says, okay. Stacey White holding down for the D all day, every day. What's going on, Ma? She says, good morning, Omar. Why are you going there? Light, bright. You have been real humble, at least for me. Light, bright. I'm not light-skinned. And look, this is what we're not going to do. Yeah, I'm not light-skinned. And never have been. Not in the wintertime. No other time. I'm just not. You know, I never wanted to be, and I ain't. My daddy was. And I say he was because he's dark. He's darker than me now. But that's because I think he has a kidney condition. And, you know, you have a kidney condition, you know, your skin get darker. So I know a bunch of used-to-be light-skinned people. They, you know, they going to dialysis and shit. You know, they going to dialysis and shit. They dogging them up like it's like, they dogging them up. What's going on, Dorinda Lionheart? What's going on, ma? Good to see me some you. Word. Sucre Jatois says, I think it does in entertainment. Okay. All right. Now, let's take entertainment. Because I'm glad you went there. And I meant to go there when we were talking about, you know, our most visible examples of financial success being in entertainment. What light-skinned entertainers have done better than dark-skinned entertainers? Because I don't see it. I don't see it. For every Will Smith, there's a Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington is clearly either you can consider him dark, but he ain't light. You might not consider him dark, but he ain't light. No way around it. Where are the other Will Smiths? Because who are these successful? I know as far as black actors are concerned, I think all of the successful black actors, male, are dark skinned or brown or dark. I don't who's Will Smith is the basically the only one that comes to my mind as far as being light skinned is concerned. Who else? Even if you want to take it to the women, who You know, if you're talking about actresses, what light-skinned actresses have been successful? Because I don't see it.
Let me see.
Rasheen says, I agree, Magnificent. I also believe our race shows colorism amongst each other, and it's that. I think that we're the only ones who show colorism. White man be like black is black. Ain't none of y'all getting ahead where I'm concerned. But it seems like they'll let dark-skinned Ratchet Nikki, you know, do a thing before they'll let brown-skinned Carmel Brown Rhonda, you know, white-talking Carmel Brown educated Rhonda, you know, get her shit off. And light-skinned Keisha. But I mean, I'm open. I mean, you know, I could be in my bag right now and thinking narrow-mindedly. You know, let me see. Carol Chamberlain says, one thing for sure, Whoopi is one of the few blacks to win the EGOT. Oh, I don't know. I don't even know what that is. Rasheen says, I see the dark-skinned Nikki's every day at work, LOL, and she is loved by the whites. I know what I'm talking about, Rasheen. You know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. We went to school with dark-skinned Nikki, like, and we didn't know dark-skinned Nikki was going to make it. Because she was smart. She was pretty good at school. She was just ratchet as fuck. Ratchet. Give a fuck. You'll never see dark-skinned Nikki talking white in corporate America. She ain't trying to impress nobody. Not that way, anyway. They'd be like, oh, my God, Nikki's so crazy. Nikki. We have to ask Nikki. Nikki. Yes, Nikki. Oh, God. Fucking Nikki. Nikki might have four kids by five different fathers, but she's still your boss. All right, all right, we got chill. I got chill. I'm chilling. All right. Magnificent Morocco says The Rock. Is The Rock okay? All right, we want to say The Rock is light skinned. If The Rock is light-skinned, then I might be light-skinned. Because he ain't light enough for me. He ain't light enough. But all right, since we want to say The Rock, fuck it, Samuel L. Jackson then. Fuck it. All right? How you explain Samuel L. Jackson? How you explain Don Cheadle? How you explain Angela Bassett? How you explain Whitney Houston? How you explain Aretha Franklin? And in the singing industry, it's a total light skin. I mean, it's a total brown skin or dark skin game. And none of them light skin. Beyonce might be the only one. Who else? Who? Past or present? Who? Now, back in the day, way back in the day before our time, you know, you had the Lena Horns. You had what was the other chick that Halle Berry? Okay, you got Halle Berry. There you go. Boom. Halle Berry. But don't nobody. Okay. A lot of people hype Halle Berry up for the way she looks and all of that. Don't name a Halle Berry performance that you was like, yo, Halle Berry killed that shit. And when Halle Berry come out with a movie, name a movie that you was like, yo, I got to see this new Halle Berry flick. Name one. Come on. And don't say Monsters Ball because you know you didn't flock to the theaters to see that shit until the media made you go see it. Like, yo, you know, Halle Berry, you know, she took off her shit. I don't know why you want to see her shit. Fuck out of here. She can't act. She's garbage. I don't care what nobody say. Halle Berry is not a good actress. Never has been and ain't going to be. So she might be the one. You know what I mean? Personally, I would take a Regina King. Probably like Regina King. Good actress. Very good. You know what I'm saying? And I used to also like, what was the name? Sinclair on Living Single. He's from Philly. What was the name? Sinclair. You know, Sinclair. Yeah. The dark skin one. She was a good actress too. Remember, she was on the Cosby Show. Speaking of Cosby, he's dark skinned. I mean, did Lisa Bonet get farther than Tempest Bledsoe? Did she? Did she? Did she? Hmm? Now, Claire Huxtable, she was a little light. She was a little light. Dorinda said, in Monsters Ball, she played herself. She did. She wasn't even a good, that wasn't even a good performance. She sucks. Okay. Okay. Sucre says, if you notice, wait a minute, if you notice, they use the same people you've named over and over. Can anyone else get work? Well, I mean, you know, you can also say that about white actors and actresses too. Like, how long was they going to let Tom Cruise look like he was, how long was they going to let Tom Cruise play roles like he was still in his 30s? I'm just saying, it took a long time for them to finally phase him out. You know, this has been the longest stretch that we didn't see a Tom Cruise movie. Okay. Rasheen also said Halle Berry at one point in time. Yeah. Like, I think people start catching on. Like, people don't really be flocking to the theaters to see this goddamn Halle Berry. And it's a fact. It's a fact. Don't nobody want to see that shit. But she is light-skinned, and she is mixed. And, you know, she got tired of, you know, the black dudes whooping her ass and fucking up her hearing. So she said, I'm gonna get a white dude. And even the white dude played her like, man, you know, this chick off the chain. But I contend that's for a different reason. I really don't think that. Well, I'm going to say this. And I've said it many times before, and I stand by it. I don't think Halle Berry has the sexual nature that it takes to keep a man. I'm going to put it in layman's terms. I think that the pussy is garbage. Because how can you be that pretty and that successful and dudes be like, you know what? I'm good. I'm good. This Halle Berry shit just ain't what it's cracked up to be. Meanwhile, Ratchet Black Nikki from around the way can't keep a man away. Like, damn, you with Nikki? Yeah, you know, Nick, you know what I'm saying? You know, Nick drive the Benz. You know, she worked for Prudential. All right, anyway. All right. Magnificent Morocco says The Rock is the biggest actor in the USA. Is he? The Rock was bigger than Will Smith? And I don't know why I say Will Smith. Like, was Will Smith really all that? Because I always thought Denzel was the top black. But okay. All right. If it's The Rock, it's The Rock. I don't know. I didn't know that The Rock was considered to be light skinned. I could see people trying to put him there on the lighter side, but all right. Okay. I'll go for it. Stacey Yvette White said, Kim Fields. No. Kim Fields wasn't Sinclair. Sinclair was the dark skinned one. Kind of tall. Wait, what was Kim Fields' name on? I don't. Okay, Magnificent Morocco said Prince, Morris Day. Morris Day ain't no. Come on now, Prince. Okay, Prince. Okay. All right. But if you want to say Prince, just say Michael Jackson, because before Michael Jackson colored himself or whatever the fuck happened. Michael Jackson, he was not light-skinned. Barely dark-skinned. He was, barely brown-skinned. He was dark-skinned. He was a real one. And I don't think that there's anybody more successful in entertainment than Michael Jackson was. Regine, yeah, that was, yeah, Kim Fields' name was Regine on Living Single. Shout out to Living Single. I think we got some Living Single fans here, man. That's what's up. You know what I mean? My brother Ansel Jones is in the house. What's going on, my brother Ansel Jones? Rasheen Griffin says, I was always one and done with all of Halle's men because they suck. They suck. She not that shit. She's just not. She not, nah. Now, let's say you said, if you took it to the Fast and Furious series, Vin Diesel only did Fast and Furious, the first one. He refused to do the anyone after that, right? So Tyrese did Fast and Furious. How we know the Fast and Furious franchise built up more after the first one, well, more after the second one than after the first one. Vin Diesel was the star of the first one, right? Tyrese and Ludacris and all of them started coming in the second, third, and fourth, whatever. So how we know people wasn't going to go see Fast and Furious because of Tyrese? I think it's because of Tyrese. Black Reese. I think it's because of Black Reese. This is Clay says, I don't know if that's how you spell it. It's good enough. It was probably more like Regina without the A on the end. That's what I'm thinking. R-E-R-E-G-I-N-E, Regine. You know, sort of like take the pronunciation, the accentuation of a Spanish. Probably. I don't know. They tried to sell her because she was pretty. Oh, you talking about Halle Berry? Yeah. You know. I mean, the rest of these light-skinned actresses, I mean, what did they... Like, I watched a documentary. It was a documentary. I was watching Uncensored with what's the chick? From Players Club. You know, what's her name? Lisa Ray. I was digging. Yo, Lisa Ray is dope. Fuck that. You know why I like Lisa Ray? Because Lisa Ray was on that black shit, on that ratchet shit. Like, I ain't doing this, that, and the third and all that. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm talking about. When you talk about somebody who is clearly light-skinned but wasn't trying to use that as her advantage because she knew in Hollywood that wasn't doing shit. You know, she admitted, like, I got a couple of lucky breaks or whatever, but it wasn't, ain't had nothing to do with this. I was on some right time and right place at the right time type shit. But she had an interesting story. But, Magnificent Morocco says Terrence Howard. Okay. Howard Hewitt. Like, Howard Hewitt ain't exactly tear up the R&B music scene. You know, he was good. You know, the whole Shalimar thing. Okay, I'll allow it. James Earl Jones. Okay. Richard Pryor likes it too? We doing that? Come on, man. Come on, these cats ain't light enough. We need the light skin, curly hair type, man. We're the lighter skin, like Billy D. Williams type. You know what I'm saying? Like, even Terrence Howard don't even have good hair. You know, good hair. He a light skin, nappy head type. And he like white girls. He a good dude. He a good dude, though. I met him a couple of times. He all right. Except for that little, that's what it is. Oh. Erica Alexander. Yeah, that's who I meant. Nah, not Regine. Or not Sinclair. Maxine, that's the one I like. Yeah. Erica Alexander. Yeah, yeah, that's her. That's who I was talking about. I had it all messed up. Maxine, that's the one I like. Who was Sinclair? Please don't tell me it was Kim Coles. Cause I did not like her. She is garbage. It's too silly for me, man. I couldn't do it. Yeah, Maxine, that's the one I like. Mm-hmm. Maxine, that's the one I liked in Vogue too. Wasn't the same one? Maxine? Was Erica Alexander in Vogue? In Vogue? All right. The light-skinned, dark-skinned challenge. Now that we're getting into this thing, if you wanna argue that light-skinned black people have had it easier than dark-skinned black people have had it, I still think that it's a stretch. In the black community, I think that you may be on to something, because I think we have fostered that narrative over generations. I do believe so. We've heard conversations we've heard black people, dark skinned black people to lighten up a little bit. In other words, have children with somebody light skinned so we can phase out a little bit of this black. And I've always wondered, do light-skinned families say, yo, you got to get some. We got to darken this shit up a little bit. Or have some some light-skinned black people felt like they did have an advantage. And an advantage where? Yes, Sucre says that Maxine or Erica Alexander, she started on the Cosby Show. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Maxine, that's the one I was talking about. No, Sinclair. Who's Sinclair? What's Sinclair? Oh yeah, Kim Coles was Sinclair. My bad. I didn't like her on that show. I don't like her as a comedian. She blows. Oh, hold on. We have a caller on the line. Caller with the last number 7019. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this afternoon? No, it's still morning. Hey, how's it going?
Good. I just wanted to address something about lighter and dark skin, because you refer to a lot of black actors who are dark skin and being pretty successful in the industry. And what I was referring to was, like, back in the day, if you recall, you know, first of all, black roles were very scarce. And also, you know, most of the roles that were created or written for black actors were more so like employees of white people or slave roles, something to that nature. And so, you know, you can't really put a pretty person, what they term to be pretty, which was usually the light skin, fairer skin, you know, pretty hair, long, fluent, curly hair, sort of, or an exotic look, what they like to say. They wouldn't put those actors in those roles. So, fast forward to the more recent terms, you had a lot of writing specifically for black actors because they were black shows, right? So then you didn't have the divide as far as, you know, only picking light-skinned actors or pretty people, you know, stuff like that, because the roles were written for black actors. But there was a time when black actors specifically talked about how it was so hard to get into the industry or find roles. Even to today, they say it's really hard for them to find roles. One, because they use the same people all the time, and two, because there aren't that many roles for them to play. Because remember, back in the day, you might have one black person on a show, just one. Or,
right,
like, that would be the racial integration. It would either be a black man or a black woman, but it was hardly ever two unless they played as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so it was a difference in, I mean, sure, you can name a lot of dark-skinned actors now who are very successful, but I think they play very specific roles when it came to storylines that were written to include for black actors.
Mm-hmm. You make an interesting point, that's for sure. And to even compound on that a little bit, I saw a video about Bill Cosby's you know, back in the 60s. A lot of people don't know that Bill Cosby was the one that got black people to start being stunt doubles, you know, like in his movies. When he had the show I Spy, they was the television industry and the movie industry was still using white actors with blackface as stunt doubles for black actors. And Bill Cosby was like, "Nah, we're not doing that. I'm not having no white actor, you know, use blackface to do stunts for me." So he did a lot towards getting like the black stunt actors union, you know, getting them unionized and things like that. So yeah, back in the day, they really didn't want any black actors on the movie screen. And on the TV screen, they were extremely limited as black people started to be shown on TV, and they definitely had their struggles. But black people as a whole found it hard to come into the movie industry. But when you think about the success of one over the other, whatever, if we're talking about light skin, dark skin, well, it was Hattie McDaniels that won the Oscar. You know, and even though you can argue that, she won an Oscar for what? You know what I'm saying? Playing a maid or whatever. But she did. She won the shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She didn't just get nominated for it. She won it. And she's definitely dark-skinned. No way around it, you know? Mm-hmm. So although she was a character actress and indicative of blaxploitation as far as the industry was concerned back then, she still made a mark. And it's a mark that wasn't overshadowed until Halle Berry was able to do it by default, because that was some bullshit. But nonetheless.
But don't you think at the time when she won the Oscar, like her counterparts who were on TV at the time were also dark skinned, because they pretty much played slave roles or work for white family roles?
Well, like I said, they really didn't want any black people on camera at the time that Hattie McDaniels was on there. And when you think about when she was able to get that role, you know, like Gone with the Wind was one of the first movies to be featured in color. Mm-hmm. You know, before then it was a lot of black and white. There were like, you know, movies were in black and white. So they were able to use the blackface easier or whatever. And black people, the roles that they took, like Step and Fetching, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you know any of the story about Step and Fetching, as a matter of fact, I would encourage everybody to go on YouTube and or Google Step and Fetching and look at his documentary. It's a sad. That shit was crazy, you know, because. Mm-hmm. You can look at it in two ways. You can look at it like the things that he did in order to break into the industry were just deplorable, showing us in that type of light, and he sort of went for that. And other people looked at it like, nah, but he did what he had to do, and it was either going to be that or nothing. And he still opened doors for other black actors to be able to come in. But he was definitely dark in black and white movies and in the color movies. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you want to talk about the success or lack of success or the opportunities or lack of opportunities in Hollywood in terms of light-skinned black people and dark-skinned black people, I just think that it's either a pretty decent balance. I don't see where light-skinned actors or entertainers were doing doing better than dark-skinned entertainers, because for every light-skinned one that you can talk about, you're going to find two or three more darker-skinned ones that were more successful. It's just a fact, you know. That's, I mean, I'm not saying that light-skinned entertainers haven't done well, but I don't think that you can win an argument to say that they've done better. I just don't see it. You know, mm-hmm. if you just start doing it name for name, like, they ain't going to win. So some names that are thrown out there that Magnificent Morocco was talking about, he said DeBarge, Albie Shore, Christopher Williams. I'm not accepting Christopher Williams as being no successful. Like, what? Name a song besides I'm Dreaming that you, that's not no success. You know what I mean? No.
I think in terms of, like, the entertainment industry has always had, like, a perceived look they wanted people to have. And it's the same is true whether it's acting or whether it's in music. You know, it may be easier to get in the industry if you have a certain type of look, right? It wasn't until, I guess, more recent years that kind of fall to the wayside. But even when you hear, like, some artists talk about how the industry tried to mold them into being a particular type of artist, so I think there's still a little bit of it, but I don't think it's as prevalent as it used to be, because there's just not that many light-skinned people in the world, I think.
Really, that's what we doing. but like,
you might be one of the few.
I don't know. Listen, in the music industry, my man, Magnificent Morocco talked about Albie Shore. Albie Shore had one album. He had other albums. He had one album. One. You know, after Night and Day and Off on Your Own, girl, it's a wrap. It's over.
The issue was he couldn't sing, though. Look how easy it was for him to have a career in the industry, and he could not sing.
He's a good songwriter.
He was
evidently a good producer or something. But he had one album. You know the worst thing that ever happened to Albie Shore? 1990, because he was finished. As long as it was 1987, 88, even a little 89, he was holding on. 1990 came, that motherfucker lost his grip. I think Puffy killed his ass. He's like, I'm gonna have a girl. I'm gonna have a baby by your girl. I'm gonna push you out of the industry. I'm going to get you off.
That just goes to show you when the dark-skinned people start taking over. They got sick of the whole light-skinned run.
Puffy not light-skinned.
The dark-skinned people started to take over.
I'm just saying.
It was the same in relationships. Like, you know light-skinned people had a run. And then dark-skinned people started to be like, man, forget this. Tired of these light-skinned pretty boys.
Yo, I don't know, man. I just don't see where they were more successful in the entertainment industry. Now, in the black community, light skin got it. They got it. They need to keep their ass in the black community where they can thrive and be put on a pedestal. Because once they get out of the black community, I mean, they killed Left Eye.
You know what?
I'm saying nobody else in the car died. It was a light-skinned murder. They was trying to send a message. We ain't get it, though. Just saying. I listen. Rest in peace, Lisa Lopez. You know what I mean? I liked her. But come on, man. You know? Come on, man. But I don't know. Okay. All right. Light-skin, dark-skin challenge. Let me ask you, since I have you on the line, and by the way, anybody who wants to call in, please call in 319-527-6199. Press number one, and I'll get you right on up in here. Since I have you on the line, like, when you were growing up, do you remember having any issues? Have you ever witnessed any issues between the battle of light skin versus dark skin? Did you experience anything going on with colorism that stuck out in your mind?
I do, only because in my particular, and this was maybe one of the few incidents that I could recall off the top of my head, but my name is very rare, right? It's not a common name. But in my elementary school, there was a girl who had the same first name. So in order to distinguish between the two of us, they would always say she was the light-skinned one because she was lighter complexion than I was.
Yeah, yeah. I see exactly where this is going. Okay.
So they would always call her the light-skinned one. And at first, you know, it didn't register with me. I mean, young, you really probably don't pay any attention to it. But, you know, as we got closer to sixth grade and graduation time, it was very obvious that I was like, because we both had long hair, we both, you know, were in the same grade. We just were in different classes, but it started to annoy me closer to as I got older. Like, why is she the light-skinned one? That's how they distinguished it.
Okay, so at that time, what did her being called the light-skinned one mean to you? Like, were your feelings hurt by that? Just you know, asking you to be honest. Like,
honest, mm-hmm. I felt like, to me, in my mind, light skin meant pretty.
Okay. I can understand why you would feel that way, because back when we were growing up, yeah, they kind of pushed that. You know what I'm saying? They kind of made it seem like that was the case. You know,
mm-hmm.
like when you have to hear things like, you know, you pretty for a dark skinned girl, you know, all kinds of crazy shit like that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, I think even though I understood how some people felt that way, I know that I resisted getting into that. Like, I've never been down with the light skin is better than dark skin or whatever. I mean, I know for a fact that caramel brown skin is better than both of them, because we the real deal. Like, it's unchallenged. Like, nobody be, I mean... Anyway, no, but honestly, I could see as a child how that phenomenon wasn't going to help us at all, and I refused to be a part of it, you know. So I've never called anybody black as a diss. Like, I'll do it now. Yeah. Because to me, everybody's black. So I'd be like, you're black ass. I don't give a fuck if you light as a fucking light bulb. Like, you black ass. Fuck wrong. Yeah, I'm black ass. I, you know, but yeah. I saw other people go through that, and I always felt bad for them, because I'm like, that shit ain't. To me, you were either pretty or you were ugly.
Right.
Or all right, you know, those are the pretty much the in the black community, you either pretty, ugly, or all right. That's what, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, all right, and you know, all right, pretty much covered everybody.
I do feel like ugly was never used for light skinned people. Like, I didn't find too many people thinking that someone who was light-skinned was ever ugly. Now, I didn't feel that way. But yeah. I know a lot of people who found it hard to characterize someone who was light-skinned as being ugly.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to agree with that, because I saw that too. I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. I will never forget in sixth grade when Redbone Marquita came to pick at school in sixth grade, and Marquita had these big lips, and to me she really was just all right. You know what I'm saying? Like nothing special going on here. I mean, we sixth grade. You know, it ain't like I'm looking for a fat ass and big titties. It's strictly face for me at the time. And Marquita was just all right. But I remember everybody going crazy. All the boys was trying to get with Marquita. It was Marquita this, Marquita that. And I'm like, It was then I saw it like, this shit is real. And I knew that just because she was light-skinned, they act like she was the first light-skinned girl ever presented to the sixth grade. I'm like, LaShonda light-skinned too. But not as light as Marquita was. Marquita was light. Like, she was straight red bone. And so, as the years went on, me and Marquita got cool. And she started to actually get a little bit cuter, you know what I'm saying? You know, as we got older. But Marquita actually wound up being on drugs later on. Light skin couldn't shave that beauty. Yeah, she was on that crack and really looking like she not only looked like she was a crackhead. I'd be surprised if Marquita is still alive to this day. She was the last time I saw her, she looked bad, not regular bad. But but I'll never forget the Marquita example because that let me know, like, this is where we are as a people. It had an impression on me. And I didn't have anybody to talk to about that back then. Like, I just had to observe it and be like, but I'll tell you this. Marquita liked me. And I ain't like Marquita like that. And I was thinking, like, as opposed to maybe one of the other girls that I like, let's take, I'll never forget, Rona Brown. Rona Brown was more like, I would say, my complexion or whatever, or maybe a little darker. I don't know, whatever you might call it. But Rona was pretty. Wasn't no way around it. You know, for a sixth grader, she's pretty sexy. I mean, who has a name like Rona? Who does that? You know, like, oh, mom named her what? It wasn't short for nothing either. That was her name. So I'm like, Rona is clearly prettier than Marquita. But Rona been here since fifth grade. So we used to Rona. You know what I'm saying? Marquita was fresh. But the feeling that I would have gotten with going with Rona would have been a whole lot better than I would have felt being with Marquita, even though I know for a fact that everybody's been like, go with Marquita. You know what I'm saying? It was weird. That was weird. I'm like, this is what we doing? But I thought maybe it was just a picket middle school thing. Maybe that's just how we do. Because that shit was ridiculous right there. So, yeah, I can understand how you would feel about the whole colorism thing. If you had to experience somebody calling you, let's say your name is Tina, you had light skin Tina and you had dark skin Tina, like, really? Really?
Right.
And they might not have even been dissing. That was just a form of identification. But you never know what's behind that identification. Because it could have been a diss. It could have been. That's. Yeah,
and I said it, but that's how I received it. You know, when I realized that that's what everybody was doing. And it was the teachers as well. Like, whenever they had to call someone to the office, you know, because I never forget her last name was Hen. And I remember they could never remember, they kept getting our physical person with our names confused, and so if I came to the office, they would say that I was her and vice versa. So, you know, even in the front office, that's how they would distinguish her, which I thought was a little weird because they were adults. Like, I would probably expect it from the kids, but not from the adults as well. So it was just, that was just my first introduction to that whole thing.
Yeah, and what an introduction that would be. So, okay, from that introduction, growing into a grown woman now, how far do you feel like we have come as a people and yourself personally from that experience up until now? How were you able to unpack that over the years? You know, because, and I'm asking because some people get stuck back then. Like, you know,
right.
Hold a grudge on that shit. Like,
Right. No, and quite honestly, it wasn't even something that had, until you asked the question, I didn't even think about it until you just asked me the question. But I think as far as in my personal life, I don't think that I see people in terms of shades, blackness, per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, I have children who are all different shades, you know, from, and they range from light to dark. And it doesn't faze me one bit. As far as how we've come as a society, I think that it depends on what we're talking about. There's definitely some favoritism, I should can say, when it comes to people who are deemed the prettier people in terms of blackness. But for me, I think it's all in, it's subjective. You know, everybody has, you know, their choice or what they like, right? But I personally don't pick people based on that. You know, I'm more of an internal person more than external. Like, I've dated ugly guys and I've dated very attractive guys. So I'm definitely not partial to that. It just depends on how we vibe, you know.
Yeah, and have you experienced anybody who hasn't evolved? You like, do you know anybody that has an experience or experiences similar to yours or other experiences that you know about that they may have shared with you where you can clearly see that they haven't been able to move past that?
Absolutely. Like, a really good friend of mine, has definite, color issues and, but she doesn't see it that way. And as much as we've talked about it over the years and we've been friends for much of my life, I've known her as a child growing up, but she doesn't see it that way. And I think it she received preferential treatment, you know, being a lighter complected growing up. So she she favors more to lighter skin, or she likens herself to white people, actually. And she feels comfortable around white people as opposed to her own people. Her conversation about black people is always negative. You know, she's a typical, like, black people still, black people are dysfunctional, black people. So, you know, she likes to live amongst white people. She likes to go to white stores. She, you know, that those types of things. And that's just how she's always been.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because all through the years that we've been friends, like, to me, she's never herself when she's around them, but she's her complete self when she's around me. But she doesn't see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she puts on air when she's in front of other people. You know, she even changes her voice.
Okay.
You know,
I know exactly.
More professional.
Yeah.
So it's just funny to me. You know, but when she talks to me, is, you know, profanity, every other word is, you know, it's just interesting to me. But I've kind of known it for a long time, so I just, you know. I just say that's just who she is. But okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the hurt that can come out of this colorism situation and the effect that it has on some people is devastating. It can be really, really devastating to the point where some people really never come out of it. And I know for a fact, well, I know families who have, you know, have told their kids, like, don't bring nobody in here, dark skin, you know, that kind of stuff. And they had dark skin kids.
Right.
You know, they may have, I know of one particular family, like my God family. My God family, the mom was very light skin, you know, light skin, long, straight hair, that type shit. You know what I'm saying? Where it might even make you ask the question, like, what you mix with or whatever. But she had some kids. She had some kids because they had a big family. Like, so her daughter, one of her daughters, was light like her. The other one was a little bit browner. But her youngest son was straight dark skin. Straight dark skin. No way around it. And I always wondered how he felt. You know, being around that type of thing, because she was the type of woman who would tell her kids, you know, not to go too dark. And here you are with this chocolate boy, the last one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he did seem to go the light skin route. And I always wondered, like, is it because he's actually attracted to that, or is it because of his conditioning? His direct conditioning from his mom. Now his dad was a little light. You know what I mean? Not light like all of that, but I guess you could consider him to be light. But what I was trying to say is I've been around families where they have pushed that narrative and really tried to get that popping, and it's when you think about it, it's like, yo, that's not a good look. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
You can't really stop the rot. You can't stop it. And the more you try to ignore it in the black community, the more you're going to have to stare it right in the face. It's not going to go away for you. It's not going to treat you the way that it's not going to just ignore you the way you try to ignore it. And speaking of which, black people who try to sweep this phenomenon under the rug. I wondered, like, is it because of the hurt that they have experienced or the hurt that they have witnessed? You know what I mean? Because I don't see how denial gets you anywhere with anyone in any situation. Because denial is, you are only in denial of something that's truthful. You're not in denial of something that's a lie. You know what I mean? So when you try to sweep it under, go ahead.
No, I said sometimes you can be in denial of, like, if someone spreads a lie, and you know how a lie spreads quicker than the truth. So because you can't fix it, because you can't do anything to correct it, you may take the approach to just ignore it in hopes that eventually it'll die down or go away or people will forget about it.
Okay, but you're not in that example. I don't consider you to be denying the truth. You're in, you're just rejecting. I think that you're rejecting an untruth. But that's how I would look at it. You know.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, people who try to ignore that colorism still exists in the black community, like they'll tell you that. I've heard things like, people still do that or they still think that way. I'm like, give me a fucking break. You know what I mean? Like, really? Like, yeah. You know, like, I haven't even seen the word red bone written down. And I don't know. It's been decades. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. I think if you, do a little bit more research. You can conjure it up again. But yeah, it's one of those things that we own. You know, the same thing as good hair. You know, it's one of those things that definitely divides us. Like we was talking about last night, it separates us. It divides us, however you want to look at it. And some people really take it there. It's not as popular to take it there as it may have been back in the day. You know, there's been a really big push, a positive push to appreciate, to show appreciation for dark skin. And I totally agree with that. Sometimes I think that even that's off the, I think that's a little excessive, you know, like everybody who is dark skin can't be pretty, you know, or handsome. Like I think sometimes we're taking it a little too far. Maybe I'm a little too realistic about it. Like, okay, all right, everybody who light skin is definitely not beautiful or handsome. But you ain't gonna tell me that everybody who's dark skin is automatically, you know, we getting on the black is beautiful, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. I'm like, well, sometimes when berry is like real dark, it been overcooked, you know what I'm saying? So that that juice kind of toxic, you fucked it up. Yeah. See, yeah, that shit ain't really right.
You know,
I wouldn't eat that if I was you.
You know, something that you mentioned that you didn't really talk about was you said something to the effect of whether the person was mixed or not, which happens a lot in the black community, where if a person looks a certain way, is light, you know, sometimes with what we term as good hair, you know, the question is always, what you mix with?
Yeah. So, since we got a couple of minutes, we about to get on out of here, but we got a couple of minutes. Like, with the whole mixed thing, do you think that mixed kids have an easier time in life or a tougher time?
I do think that it's a sickness community, because I do think that they get preferential treatment. I think there is a culture of people who believe that mixed children are automatically more beautiful.
Okay.
So, but I don't tend to think that. I think, you know, you're going to look how you look. And, you know, the skin complexion doesn't always determine whether you're more attractive or less attractive.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can be very much so unattractive and be mixed. But, you know, again, those things are subjective.
I'm going to tell you like this. I wouldn't mind if I was darker. I wouldn't mind if I was lighter.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to live the life of a mixed person to save my life. Because from what I know, the situations that I've been closer to, they don't have it easy. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you take it away from their supposed good looks or whatever, first of all, that's a myth too. Because you know how they say two ugly people can make a pretty baby?
Right.
I reject that notion. I think from ugly stems ugly. I'm not the type that says all babies are cute. Like, I just don't do that kind of shit.
Listen. You just got to compliment something else.
That's right. Where you get them booties from? Wow. All right. So anyway, like, I ain't never seen a onesie like that. That's some clear baby skin. You know, because you know how some babies have acne and shit. But anyway. For what I know about people, from black people who are mixed with black and white, a lot of them have a hard time really fitting in. You know, they have a hard time fitting in because at home their cultural differences stand out.
But do you think that's self-inflicted, or do you think that's because of societal pressure?
Well, I don't think that you can be both. I think anything mixed with black is black. And when you try to reap the benefits of the of anything except for being black, you get a rude awakening mm-hmm. as to what and who you really are. And all mixed children aren't prepared for that. At right. the same time, even the mixed children that have gone the pro-black route, you see holes in their game and in their personality, because it's like, I might be doing this to compensate for my lack of ability to actually be 100%. Not that mm-hmm. any of us are 100%, but you know, they may be going all over the top to try to prove themselves. And they may right. look at me and you like, they don't have to prove themselves. They are that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to fit in with this because my mom was white or my dad was black, and I know I can't go over there and I can't be pro-white. I can't fit in with that. And I don't even feel mm-hmm. that in my heart. But I'm trying to do more on this side, even though many of my brothers and sisters on the dark side are looking at me like, you ain't really real. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might be cute, but you ain't real. And it might not be that way all the time, but they, like I said, I wouldn't want that struggle. I've seen my baby sister go through that struggle. I don't envy her even. Like, yeah, you good.
Yeah.
And it could really be argued that she got better opportunities than the rest of us darkies.
Right.
I'll take it. All day. Every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, I'm good. Mm-mm. Everywhere I went, I could go.
Mm-hmm.
And I only wanted to go certain places in anyway, you know?
Right.
But,
right.
So to have a situation where around my black brothers and sisters, I don't really fit in, but I represent black when I'm around white people, because that's my little, you know what I mean? That's my little edge.
Right.
That's my street cred. Get the fuck out of here. You know, I'm good. I'm good.
Well, sometimes they don't even want to be black in front of the white friends.
Well, they might not be. Well, they might not be black around them, but they may represent black causes. You know what I mean? Black struggles. They may be that voice of black in certain,
right.
Yeah, you know, that in these conversations when we start talking about should George Floyd have been killed, whatever, or should the cop have gone to jail for that. He could be the
right.
black voice for that. Like, okay.
Right. Like, so what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she might volunteer, or he or she may volunteer for that. Like, no, dude, that ain't right. And blah, 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 blah. You know. But on the flip side, if you around a bunch of black people and we talking about white injustices, you ain't going to be able to be like, well, you know, all white people ain't bad. Like, nigga, ain't nobody trying to shoot.
Right, right.
Oh, you hear on that tight time? Yo, get the Sandman. You know what I'm saying? But this is going to be a violent Sandman. We can get this mother. He an agent, yo. He an agent.
Yeah, well, we're not really all that forgiving when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, but we're just not.
And Carol Chamberlain says, there seems to be a lot of suicides in mixed people. I think it's an identity issue. Whoa. I don't know, man. I'll tell you this, though, Carol. And I wonder if mixed people, mixed blacks, suffer from depression more of us with a higher percentage. Because I think there's something there. I've seen, from the people I know, I'm like, you know what? We might be on to something there. You know what I mean? It may not have come all the way down to suicide, but.
And I wonder if it's more of an identity crisis on the black side or on the white side. Like, I wonder about that? Like, do they feel more unaccepted on which side?
Whatever side they want to be on the most.
Right.
You pick them. But yeah. I guess the question that we could ask is, which is worse, white rejection or black rejection? Now, you know you can't be white if you mix. You can't do it. So
I would kind of expect that rejection.
Huh?
Right. I would say white rejection or black acceptance, because we're more critical on accepting people rather than rejecting. Like, we tend to be harder on accepting people. I mean, rejecting people. Wait.
I think that if you're mixed, you're going to be accepted in the black community somewhere. There's a place for all races in the black community. We accept damn near anybody. But,
right. Okay. I do agree with that. Right.
Yeah. It's hard to get kicked out of the black community. You know what I'm saying? You got to do something like, say the collard greens is fucked up or something, you know what I mean? Something dumb.
No,
you know?
or deny your blackness. That's a surefire way to get kicked out.
I don't know.
Which
I don't
think
know
you
if
see more
you.
Of that.
I don't know, because some black people have, I mean, you're going to find other black people that reject their blackness. We'll forgive you for anything. Look at Serena Williams. She's a monster.
See, but I don't think she denies her blackness as much as she accepts or prefers whiteness.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. Same thing to me.
No.
Same thing to me. No, same thing to me.
Like,
she
can't deny that she got nappy hair, you know, and she accepts that.
Mm-hmm.
But she likes and prefers white men because of how she say they treat her. They treated her better, she said.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
But it doesn't mean that she don't like black men, because she's dated a bunch of black men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Okay. All right. We got to get on the body here. We're going to do these birthday shout-outs, and then we're going to get our skates on. But I want to thank you for coming through. I appreciate it. The conversation was great. The insight was on point, and I hope to hear from you again. So you have a wonderful day, and if whatever you think wonderful is, you have a wonderfuler one than that. Appreciate you.
Thank you. You too.
All right. So as we proceed to give you what you need, all right. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious, glorious, glorious April 24th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special, because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. Michael Polino turning 42 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And Kiana Tiffany turning 29 years old today, and Shanice Souter turning 44 years old. Bow, 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 yeah. And irreplaceable Jenny Mara, happy birthday to you. And Moreni Keji Yusuf Atanda, happy birthday to you. And Shahida Muhammad, happy birthday to you. And Travis James, happy birthday. And Michael Ford turning 63 years old today. And last but not least, my girl going all the way back to when I was in single digits, my girl Rhonda Latoya Richardson, happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious April 24th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. Turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn. To rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, this black, this light skin, dark skin phenomena has been going on in the black community since the beginning of, as long as we can remember. You can say that it comes out of slavery, and it probably does. As a matter of fact, I'm sure it does. But that is our narrative. That is our history in this country that we are aware of. And I sometimes wonder if it really comes out of slavery, because we see it in other parts of the world. So does it come out of slavery for us exclusively, or does it come out of racism worldwide for everybody else? Something to think about. But I tell you this, black is black. Regardless of whether you love it or hate it or whatever your preference is black, and we're all going to get a piece of that struggle. So I don't care whether you're light skin or dark skin or whatever, brown skin, caramel, whatever you consider your hue to be, you're going to get a piece of this racism struggle. You're going to get a part of this discrimination struggle. You're going to get a part of this lack of opportunity and education and financial struggle. You're going to get it all. So even though in our community we may try to make one feel better than the other, or try to balance out the scales, and you're going to need to try to balance out the scales, we are here, and we are going to be all part of this fraternity of exclusion by somebody somewhere in this world. None of us make it from the cradle to the grave without experiencing none of that. Some of us just sweep it under the rug, just like we sweep under the rug our complexion status. Listen, I want y'all to have a great day today. No exceptions. Get out there. It's a Saturday. It's kind of nice today. Hey, Saturday, kind of not nice today. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate you and love you right back to life. Yeah, so blog talk, I'm going to get you on up out of here first. You got to go. I thank you as much. And then...